I'm going to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
All members of council are present, Your Worship.
Thank you. There are no announcements this evening. There is no addendum to the agenda. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There being none, there are a number of upcoming public meetings. We have one final open house with respect to the 40 Transit. That's taking place on Saturday, December the 2nd at the Centennial Branch Library between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. That will be the third of three public meetings. The 2018 budget schedule continues with the December 6, 2017 water and wastewater operating budget and user fee analysis. The third budget meeting will be on Wednesday, January the 10th, when Council receives the EDTC and the Fort Erie Public Library budgets. We will be considering the general levy operating budget and assessment analysis on Wednesday, January the 24th, 2018. And if a further budget meeting is necessary, it will be held on January the 31st, 2018. All those budget meetings begin at 6 p.m. They're held in the Town Council chambers. And the adoption of the budget bylaws will be as follows. This evening, November the 27th, we'll be considering the capital budget bylaw. Monday, January the 22nd, the water 2018, the water and wastewater budget and rates, and February the 26th, the general levy budget. There are a number of public meetings with respect to zoning matters. A town-initiated zoning bylaw housekeeping amendment public meeting will be held December the 4th, 2017. Again, these meetings are all at 6 p.m. in the council chambers on December the 4th. The information report will be available on our website on November the 29th, 2017. There's a public meeting with respect to a draft plan of subdivision red line revisions, Hershey Estates, and that is again on December the 4th, 6 p.m. here. And the information report will be available November the 29th, 2017. There's a public meeting with respect to a town-initiated official plan and zoning bylaw amendment for 3770 Hazel Street, which is the Bertie Public School, and 145 Derby Road, the Crystal Beach Public School, Monday, December the 4th at 6 p.m. Again, the information report for that will be available November the 29th. There's a public meeting with respect to a zoning bylaw amendment for the Bridgeview Townhouse Development, formerly known as the King Street Subdivision, again, Monday, December the 4th at 6 p.m. here, and the information report will be available November the 29th. To round out the December 4th public meetings, there's a draft plan of vacant land condominium public meeting, December the 4th, 2017. That's with respect to the Oaks at 6 Mile Creek, formerly known as Ridgeway Shores Phase 2, 6 p.m. And the information report will be available November the 29th, 2017 on our website. Finally, there's an open house with respect to Harbortown Village. That is the property known as Waverly Beach or Erie Beach. That will be that public meeting will be held here at the Town Hall, at the Leisureplex Banquet Hall, December the 5th, 2017, which is next Tuesday, and that's from 5 to 7 p.m. Madam Clerk, I understand that the Regional Councilor is unavailable this evening, so that takes us to presentations and delegations. And the first presentation is by Theodore Mollicone and Emily Thomas, the Chair and Vice Chair, respectively, of the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee. Good evening.
Hello, Town of Fort Erie Council members. My name is Theodore Mollicone, and I am the Chair of the Fort Erie Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee.
And my name is Emily Thomas, and I am the Vice Chair of the Committee. And from the committee, we are lucky enough to have members joining us in the audience today.
Emily and myself are here to present a slideshow of our previous accomplishments and contributions to the community over the past year. So, without further ado, let's begin. September 2016. members of the committee traveled to Stevensville and helped the community by planting trees at the Empire Loyalist Park. This event was successfully run and organized by CN Eco Connections, and not only did we help make a difference, but we had fun while doing so. November 2016. A few members, including myself, helped run a wheelchair-accessible viewing area at the Fort Erie Central Fire Station. We also ran a warm refreshment and cookie station in the lobby. Overall, everything ran smoothly and everything was amazing. We had a great time. December 2016. After previous events, we decided to have a bit of fun and welcome new members to the committee. We went to Carol's Bowling Lane in Fort Erie and we had a great time while introducing ourselves and making new memories as a committee. February 2017. As a welcome back after the new year, we had a fun trip to Sky Zone and introduced new ideas and possible events for the future. As a committee, we wanted to participate in Earth Day and decided upon Waverly Beach as the ideal cleanup location. While cleaning, Fort Erie Communities in Bloom noticed youth cleaning and recognized us as honorary garden angels. Not only did we help our planet, but we had an amazing time while doing so. Children and teen librarian Carissa Fass approached MIAC to get our opinions and ideas about what teens would like to see in their local libraries. We participated as much as possible and were told our ideas were useful. May 2017. Signe Hansen, manager of Open Space Planning and Development, came to MIAC seeking input about the Crystal Ridge Park Development Plan. MIAC eagerly participated in sharing opinions and ideas for improvement. July 2017. The Canada 150 Parade was one of the committee's more major events. Members helped on multiple events in assisting and making sure everything ran smoothly and assuring that everyone had an amazing experience over the three-day event. I fortunately had the honor of being the volunteer coordinator, and overall, everything went wonderfully and everyone had fun. Also over the summer, MIAC ran a booth at the Friendship Festival in the Kid Zone, and we assisted kids in creating character bookmarks. Overall, everything ran smooth, and everyone, including the kids, had fun. October 2017. Scooter, Emily, and I were lucky enough to attend the Niagara Student Summit run by the Niagara Falls Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee. Each of our experiences were informative and fun, and the event gave us inspiration for future events. These events are just few of hopefully many to come, and we would like to thank the following for helping us. CN Eco Connections, the Santa Claus Parade Committee, Fort Erie Fire Department, Sky Zone, Fort Erie Communities in Bloom, Fort Erie Public Library, the Town of Fort Erie, the Friendship Festival, the Canada 150 Parade Committee, Brock University, and the Niagara Falls Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee. The list just mentioned has helped us grow and flourish. 2 years ago, when both Emily and I joined, we were just 1/4 of the committee. Yes, there were only 8 of us, including guests. And we have since seen the committee change and grow into now 20 people.
Every year, MIAC becomes more popular. On multiple occasions, I have had friends of mine to come ask me for applications. They are curious about the committee and what we do. I am always proud to say that I am vice chair of the Fort Erie Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee. We assist in any way to improve our committee. On behalf of Fort Erie's MIAC, I would like to thank you for letting us have this opportunity to present, and thank you for helping us grow over the years.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies, and I want to thank you and all the members for your participation in these various events and also the participation in some of the things that we've brought to you for consultation and input. Last meeting, which was last Monday, you raised the issue about street lighting, and that was raised at the council meeting, so our staff is looking into that. I know that you've also got something coming up on the first weekend in December, sponsorship of the theater performance at the new high school.
Yes. On December 8th, the Fort Erie Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee is sponsoring the night for the new performance, A Canadian Christmas Carol, Independence Please.
And so some of the members of the committee will be attending.
Yes.
Some of the members, I understand, are actually involved with the performance.
Yeah. I'm the stage manager for the production, and Emily is in the play.
Congratulations. And also, thank you to the adult liaison, Susan Jovanovich, who happens to be related to one of you. So thank you. Do any members of council have any questions of the representatives from MIAC? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you both, and thank you to the entire committee. It looks like almost the entire committee is here tonight, and that's a first in the years that I've been sitting up here, so you've definitely done a great job of galvanizing the group. You did a great job of recapping 2017. I'm wondering if you're able to share maybe a couple highlights of what you're looking forward to in 2018.
Okay. So some future events we're looking forward to are, it's brought to our attention that teens don't normally read the paper. So we're looking to write a column in the paper for teens. We also want to increase partnership with other youth groups, such as the Fort Erie Native Friendship Center youth group. Also, we attended the Niagara Falls Student Summit at Brock, and we wanted to also create a conference. We wanted to start small, so maybe have a guest speaker or a personality that will help inspire youth.
Excellent. And Your Worship, I noted that the very first photo they showed for the tree planting in Stevensville, they all had dirty pants, but yours were perfectly clean and pressed.
Every group has to have a supervisor.
Okay. Thank you both.
Any other counselors? Councilor McDermott.
Your Worship, I don't have a question, but I'd certainly like to thank all of you for your service to your community, and how great those shirts look. They look great, and just by what you've presented here today shows that our future is doing a good job. I think most of us can agree with that. And the fact that they give up their time for this community is just super in my view. Just keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, ladies. And as I mentioned, last week, you can leave at this point if you wish. You might want to stick around for the next three delegations. They won't take long, and they all will be very informative, I'm sure. So please have a seat, and we'll call up the next delegation, which is Chair Janice Thompson from the Niagara Parks Commission. Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor, members of council. It's such a pleasure to be here this evening. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Okay, it's one of these magic microphones, right? I would like to first of all say what a joy it was for me to sit there just now and hear the representatives from MIAC. It's truly a great reflection on your town and the council's direction that you have motivated young people to be so involved in their community. It's terrific to see. So
thank you.
And thank you for allowing me to come here this evening to give you an update on the work of the Niagara Parks Commission and an update on our new strategic direction that's just been completed. So you obviously know the basic background of the Niagara Parks Commission, but for those in the audience perhaps who don't know, it was an agency that was established in 1885, and the province of Ontario obviously established this, and one of our goals, our mandates, is to preserve heritage. That's been part of our mandate since 1896. And we operate under the very specific authority of the Niagara Parks Act. And since the very beginning, there were two founding principles. One is that the park should not be a financial burden on the province. It should always be financially self-supporting. And it should, as far as possible, offer attendance and admissions as freely as possible to the public. Our mandate is to protect and promote the natural and the cultural heritage along the Niagara River corridor. And we've recently just completed an economic impact study, which shows, based on the attendance at the parks, and we have 8.2 million visitors through our attendance numbers, and those are people who took advantage of the attractions and the offerings of the parks. And you can see what some of those attractions are here, the Hornblower Cruises, Niagara's Fury, Whitewater Walk, the golf courses, the Floral Showhouse, Journey Behind the Falls, the Butterfly Conservatory, the Whirlpool Aero Car, the new zip line to the falls, and our wonderful historic sites, of which we have several in this area of Fort Erie. So overall, the annual spending that's generated through the Niagara Parks Commission for this region is over $1.2 billion. So it's definitely a very key, important economic driver for the region, and it generates jobs for many people in addition to the spending of the visitors. We support jobs for our community, and we generate taxes for the province of Ontario, and obviously for the Canadian government as well. Pardon me. The values of preservation and conservation inform every single thing that the Niagara Parks Commission says and does. It is the foundation of the organization. We contribute to the development and the enrichment of all of our communities through preserving and showcasing over 1,300 hectares of property along the 56 kilometers of the Niagara Parkway. We have community tree planting events. In fact, since the last three or four years, we've planted over 110,000 new trees on our properties. All of our restaurants have been certified Feast On, which is an Ontario program that showcases Ontario produce, Ontario products, VQA wines and craft beers. We operate the Falls Fireworks Series for the enjoyment of the community and our visitors. We also have the Summer Concert Series. Here in Fort Erie, we're very proud to present the annual Siege, the reenactment, and the stewardship of our vast heritage assets. We're very proud to support the Fort Erie Friendship Festival. And recently, we've become involved with the town of Fort Erie in bringing improvements to a 3-kilometer-long section of the Niagara River Recreation Trail from Bowen Road to Forsyth Street. The budget for that project is $500,000, with costs being shared by the NPC contributing $150,000, the town contributing $100,000, and because of the two of us working together, we were able to attract a grant from the province for $250,000. We've completed the breakwall replacement project, replacing approximately 300 feet of retaining wall, and improvements to the path conditions will continue in the spring. This year, we hosted one of our pop-up dinners in Fort Erie at Mather Arch, and it was truly a remarkable experience to be there and to feel the history of that site, and to then have the fireworks exhibit there. It really was a wonderful evening in Fort Erie. We're now just celebrating the 35th annual Winter Festival of Lights, and we will have our New Year's Eve celebrations coming up in Queen Victoria Park very shortly. So all of the investments made by the Parks Commission and the efforts made by our staff contribute to the beautification, the livability, and the overall value for our residential communities as well. According to Urban Metrics, who completed the study for us, they say that a proximity to parks and green space increases property values between 1 and 6.5%, depending on the size and the function of the park. In particular, larger parks, such as those operated and managed by NPC in this region, the property value uplift can be as high as 22%. And of course, that results in direct municipal benefit in the form of increased property tax revenues. So with that good news about what we'd contribute to the community and the positive benefits of the Niagara Parks, the Commission sat down and looked at the strategic plan for the next 10 years. And of course, Mayor Redekop is a member of the Commission, a very positive, solid, contributing member, and he brings the Fort Erie voice to the table. I can assure you of that in a very great way and is very helpful. So this year we all worked together on an updated and modernized strategic plan to guide us forward. The new plan looks well beyond short-term considerations and presents a set of core principles that reflect Niagara Park's unparalleled offerings and where we want to go in the future. So I can share with you that this is our goal. It is Niagara Park's vision to be one of the most spectacular parks in the world. An innovative example of sustainability as the environmental and cultural stewards of the Niagara River Corridor. We have a great deal of responsibility in looking after that corridor, but we also have a tremendous opportunity to showcase it to the world and preserve it for the future of all these wonderful students that are here, for their children, then their children. That's our responsibility, is to create a welcoming, accessible, and inspiring place that offers world-class, natural, historic, and authentic experiences. We truly want to present the Niagara Parks as a source of national pride and identity. So in our strategic plan, we had four themes that we're working with. And one of them is to preserve and showcase the rich heritage, the culture, and the lifestyle that's associated with the Niagara River Corridor. And you can see, first of all, we have a new brand that we're going to be implementing, a new brand initiative with new wayfinding. We're going to promote our environmental and our cultural stewardship role, and we're going to be implementing a new public-facing guest services center, a place where people can go and have their questions answered and any concerns dealt with. Our second column in our pillar in our plan is to leverage and activate the natural wonders and the iconic experiences that are very unique to Niagara Parks. First one of those will be a redevelopment of the Table Rock complex, including a refreshing of the retail stores, the culinary operations, and Journey Behind the Falls. We're working on a master plan development for Queen Victoria Park to identify how the traffic should flow there and what amenities could be added to make it truly a great experience. We're also working on a transportation plan, including Metrolink's partnering and cycling strategy as well. The third pillar is to support a dynamic business environment. You can see there, those are our two goals currently, the options to redevelop the Niagara Parks Marina at Miller's Creek, and the second to stabilize and phase in an adaptive reuse of the historic power station buildings. Those are both major projects and of great importance to the Niagara Parks. We're also planning to take experiences, services, and hospitality to the next level. The first in there is to implement some security and emergency plans our police have been reviewing with the increased traffic flow at the parks and with worldwide situations regarding security. We're having to analyze that as well and make sure that we're meeting visitor needs so that everyone feels confident and comfortable on the property. We're continuing with modernization of our financial software, and we're investing in staff training and change management. So then we want to go out and we're telling the story of Niagara Parks, the story of the land, to explain to people the relationship between themselves, the river, the gorge, the heritage sites. There are so many wonderful stories for people to hear and learn about the Niagara Parks Commission. So you'll see that coming through our marketing. Our new brand, you'll be very familiar, of course, with our tree, our oak tree. We've now evolved with that. We now have an oak leaf. The single leaf symbolizes nature and renewal, the lifeblood of any great park. It's representing sustainability and our promise as NPC to preserve and enhance the wonderful, beautiful environment that's been entrusted to us. And the multicolors in the leaf, they signify diversity, a mosaic of experiences, of people, and of opportunity. There's the leaf there, the new logo, with the falls lit, of course, and the wonderful new lighting system that was installed just about a year ago this week. We're very proud of that look. And I have here a quick review, just some slides. I'll just flip through them, some highlights of 2017. You can see when we celebrated the launch of our Canada 150 and the red and white bulbs that had been donated and planted in the parks. Our pop-up dinner series, the amazing dinner that was held at Mather Arch, introduction of the new adventure course at Thompson Point, the Brave Souls up there, the unveiling of the Harriet Tubman plaque at the Whirlpool Bridge. That was another example of school children. In this case, they were from St. Catharines who came forward to the commission and asked for us to put a plaque to commemorate the efforts of Harriet Tubman. So that was done along with the school children. Namaste Niagara, which is the yoga program. You can see people there outside at Journey Behind the Falls and also at Queenston Heights. We installed pollinator gardens in a route along the parkway. And those are really worth visiting to read the plaques that are at those routes, to talk about some of the myths. The Indigenous people have given us myths from nature, and those myths are explained all the way along the route, and we know that we're helping with the pollination. The Niagara Glen Nature Centre, that was all refurbished and opened, and now students can go in there with things they've discovered, rocks, leaves, things they want to learn more about. They can bring into the centre, have them interpreted, they can trade them for other objects that are there, and record them in the register as part of a Science North project. Then we had the rededication of Oaks Garden Theatre, which celebrates its 80th anniversary this year. We were very pleased to have that restorative work done to the stonework on the pergola walls, and we celebrated the anniversary with a Canadian citizenship ceremony. It was a wonderful day. Now I'd be happy to take any questions, and I should say I'm joined tonight by our CEO, Regan McCulloch, Natasha Devos, and Tony Baldinelli. So maybe if we can up and together we'll take any of your questions.
Thank you very much, Chair. And as I've said in the past, you can't underestimate the significance of the Niagara Parks Commission and the communities in which the park runs. So do any members of council have any questions of Chair? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Chair Janice Thompson, for coming tonight and doing this presentation. Just a couple things I noted. One item that you talked about a lot in your presentation was stewardship. And just one point that I'd like to relay to the Niagara Parks, in that when you cut down the trees and put them in the water, my ward has a high number of constituents, obviously, that border the Niagara Parks. When you did that and you cut down the trees and put them in the water, you were creating fish habitat. It wasn't until I actually asked you what was going on with that you actually informed me. So maybe in the future when you begin programs like that, a little further engagement, because I did get a lot of calls from the constituents asking what was going on, why were all the trees, and you were gracious enough to answer my question about it. And I have relayed that information, but it would have been helpful if some type of communication had gotten out to the residents, especially the ones that live right on the Niagara Parkway. I know the mayor doesn't want to talk about that because he does, and you know, he doesn't want to appear in conflict, but
Very good suggestion.
It would have been.
We do have a newsletter that goes to everyone along the parkway, but you've now given me the thought that we should deliver those newsletters as well to the councillors in each of the municipalities so that you're aware. And obviously, programs like that, we should explain them in the newsletter.
Absolutely. It would have been helpful because, like myself and my wife, we walk our dog along the parkway. We don't live on the parkway, but we make use of that. And, you know, just seeing it, and she asked me, and I was like, geez, I really don't know what's going on, but I'll ask. The other thing, the guest service center in your presentation, the new guest service center, where is that going to be located?
Currently, we're moving its new positions that we're making, actually, and they're going to be housed initially in Oak Hall to become acclimatized to the Parks Commission and all of the various matters that go on so that they're aware of our offerings. But then we're looking to move them in a more publicly facing space so that people will be able to go there. And we're thinking of, for example, parking passes. We have fantastic parking pass options for residents, but people aren't entirely sure of where to go to get them. So we're thinking we should have something like this that is more of a public building where you can go, and that's where you get parking passes, where you buy tickets for our events, for example, or you give feedback to the parks. I don't know if Regan would like to expand on that.
Sure. We're looking at a couple of different facets there. It's going to coordinate or integrate calls that we get. We also get emails from the public, and then some come to our welcome centers, and we want to have a way that we can coordinate all of that information. We're also seeing quite an increase in our online sales. So people call in for information on products that we have for sale. So we really want to take a look at how we can better coordinate all of that information. And depending on the markets, whether it's overseas markets, whether it's more regional or local markets, what are the offerings that align? And so some of that could be the parking passes, but some of it may be adventure passes, maybe tours.
Worship, if I may. Now to the big one. What's very important to Councillor McDermott's constituents and my constituents is the redevelopment of the marina. You did touch on it briefly in your project. We're wondering, have you assigned a timeline to that?
So the actual RFP closed in August, and we issued a media release at that time, and we spoke about wanting to meet with the interested parties or the parties that had shown interest during the RFP process. We did not have any bids submitted, so we've had those meetings, and we've also had discussions with the Ministry of Tourism, Culture and Sport, and they've requested that we bring in Infrastructure Ontario to take a look at the overall RFP process, the master plan study that was done related to that. So we're just in the process of working through that now with the Ministry of
Thank you very much. It's good to hear that Mr. McMahon has been involved, since we did have a meeting with her at AMO in regards to this. My last question, if your worship, if I may, is this, and you did touch on it briefly again in your presentation, but I'd just like to get a little more information on how you're engaging the indigenous population, considering the significance of the Upper Niagara area, especially as a trade center for the Neutrals, the Hurons, the Mohawks. There are many tribes that traverse this area. And what further engagement do you have planned in regards to the indigenous heritage that's in this area?
One of the things I can say is that in the 10-year strategic plan that we developed, we also, the commission, developed 10 years worth of what we call key priorities. Some will roll out in the first year, some in the third year, some in the fifth, and some closer to the 10th year. One of the things that has been identified by the commission is to develop a tourism plan for Niagara Parks. So that'll be something that we'll be starting. But we're also involved with the indigenous on a number of different fronts. If we're doing any digging anywhere, we get them involved to get their views on things. Development that we do, we get their involvement. We've also had them involved this past year. They put on a performance at Oaks Garden Theater that had to do with North American, the indigenous influence on North American music. On a concert at Oaks Garden Theater in August this year. So a number of different fronts that we work with them on.
Thank you. I know that was that. I said that was my last question, actually. I have one more.
That kind of reminds me of old Councillor Haggerty. He used to always have one more question.
Sorry, Your Worship. My last question has to do with the Emerald Ash Borer. Do you know exactly how much of the tree canopy along the Niagara Parkway has been affected and what your remediation plan is for those trees?
So I can't tell you exactly how many trees, but I could get that information if you'd like. We can certainly go back to our staff and get the numbers. And of course, we're cutting down the deadfall, and we're also at the same time planting a lot of new trees. And you know, that's, I mean, really our plan is to replenish that, but it will all take time. And it's, you know, it's definitely had a devastating effect. And that's where we're using some of that to also help with the creating the fish habitat along the rivers and so on, trying to put some of that to good use. But
again, thank you very much for coming, and thank you for your presentation.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. Just before we go forward, in terms of the communication that Councillor Nutt was talking about, there's also the website. I believe the Parks Commission is on Facebook. Newspapers, and that's the type of information that would be helpful to the community. And in terms of the indigenous tourism plan, you, I know, are aware that one of the greatest concentrations of Aboriginal artifacts have been located in Fort Erie on lands along the Niagara Parkway between the fort and what we call the South End, where the restaurants are located. So that's a great history and heritage that the Parks Commission could take advantage of. Are there any other councillors who have any questions? Councillor Luberts, and then Councillor Passero.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop, and Ms. Thompson, thank you very much for coming, and your board members as well. Just a question. I'm sitting on the Town of Fort Erie's Environmental Advisory Committee. And some of the people that I've been talking to that are involved with the environment have been asking if the Niagara Parks Commission has of yet had any discussions about the Ramsar designation for the Niagara River. And I'm just wondering, have you had talks with your board to support that designation?
Yes, certainly, Councillor. Thank you for the question. We have been approached 2 years ago now. We were approached with the concept that we would become the lead nominator for Ramsar in the first binational Ramsar designated area in North America. Obviously, it would be here in the United States. The Americans are now fully on board with it. We have the support of your council and the support of Niagara Falls, and we're just still waiting for the support of Niagara on the Lake before we can go forward to the province to ask for the final designation. But we have the request, and the staff at the parks are certainly very familiar with it.
Okay, thank you very much. And the next thing is not a question, but more of a request. And I've spoken to Mayor Redekop about this, and I've spoken to our CAO as well. And as everybody in Fort Erie is aware, that at the bottom of Jarvis Street, the wall at the coal docks has fallen apart, and it needs to be repaired, replaced. And my question is, and I brought this up earlier in the term, there was another gentleman here from the Niagara Parks Commission, and I asked him the same thing. Is there a possibility that while you're repairing that, you could use that portion of the river for an emergency boat ramp for our emergency services? And I know we have some boat ramps along the river, but if we get a busy summer day and there's an emergency, it could be plugged up or whatever. And I went down there and looked, and it seems to me that it might be a good spot to have an emergency boat ramp. And I'm just wondering if it's possible to maybe throw it around with your board and discuss it.
Well, currently we're talking about that piece of land because it isn't actually owned by the Parks Commission. It's owned by the Peace Bridge Authority, and we have an option on the land. So along with the town of Fort Erie, we're working on reviewing, having the site analyzed, and then plans will be made from there. But I know Regan's been talking to the CEO at the Peace Bridge Authority as well. So the whole future of that land is up for now. So that's an option I'd never heard before. I haven't heard about putting an emergency boat access in there.
Well, even if it's not there, if we just, while we're going along and considering other options for different places along the river, that would be something that I would like to see at least discussed, and maybe if we could get something like that, it'd be great. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. Thank you for a very informative presentation tonight. I just wanted to say thank you and acknowledge the work that you have done for accessibility improvements at Mather Arch. It's one of our Remembrance Day ceremony locations, and I know that this year and last, when the improvements were made it much more easy for many of our veterans to get down there to actually take part in the ceremony than had been previously allowed for them in years past. So thank you for that. And on a separate note, I also want to say thank you for your cooperation and partnership in two events that we do annually here in Fort Erie. One is the Santa Claus Parade, of which we do utilize a section of the parkway for marshalling, and also the Canada Day Fireworks, which is on NPC property. So those two events could not happen without your support, and we greatly thank you and appreciate that. On a personal note, if I could, Your Worship, my mom, who looks at the agendas all the time and noticed that the NPC was going to be here, told me that when she was 16 years old, she used to serve ice cream at the old forts. She is now retired and wants to know if that job is open. So I will pass along her contact information to you, Janice.
Sure, Stephen. Well, if I can mention that the young people that are here in the audience tonight, they should take note that the Niagara Parks Commission hires over 700 seasonal people in the very busy times, and it's a wonderful training ground for young people to go and start and learn a career, learn the basics of good hard work. There are people who've worked for the Parks Commission for decades, and they're terrific ambassadors for all of Niagara, so I encourage you to seek jobs there.
As you know, Chair, that's how I got my start.
That's
as a
right
guard
there
at the old fort, so it's a great place to work. Any other councillors? So, Madam Chair, just a couple of questions. Following up on Councillor Lubert's comments, I know that there's a boat ramp owned by the Parks Commission near Nichols Marine, and there had been some improvements made. Is there any anticipation of further improvements at that particular boat launch?
We'll take a note of that. We'll take a note of that if we haven't talked that one.
Okay. The second had to do with the Parks Commission's ongoing operation with respect to removal of vegetation, shrubbery along the river. And I wonder if you could just give a brief synopsis of how that is undertaken and what the future plans are. And as you know, my pet interest is Riverwalk and Freedom Park.
I want to say how the process starts is I get an email from you that says there's some vegetation there, it's grown back, and then I send it on to Regan, and Regan deals with it through his staff. And yes, there was quite an ambitious program set up where there's some equipment we have to rent, obviously, to bring in to do some of the clearing. I'd like Regan to speak to the technical side of it, though, of what the staff had planned.
Please.
So in terms of the actual equipment, we found that there were some challenges. The flailing machine isn't so selective in terms of how it clears out underbrush and so on, and was clearing out both native species as well as invasive species. And we're now looking at some other options, potentially doing it by hand so we can be more selective. And of course, wanting to be very careful about the erosion factors along the river wall as well. So we actually, in our plans for next year, are looking at various initiatives for land management along the riverfront. So that's basically the update I would have for now.
So without wanting to beat a dead horse, the Riverwalk and Freedom Park are fairly important locations within the community, and I think it's very important for visitors as well as residents to be able to see the river, particularly from Freedom Park, which is a location where fleeing slaves landed, and it was a very prominent ferry dock area in years after that. One final question, and that is, at one time there were beautiful, even magnificent, gardens at Mather Arch Park. And is there any chance that they might be restored at some point? They were removed probably 15 years ago or thereabouts. Any chance that they might be restored?
I'd say Niagara Parks wants to be one of the most spectacular parks in the world, and we want to be that from Fort Erie through Niagara Falls to Niagara-on-the-Lake. We want it to be an entire one park, one standard throughout the park, so that certainly fits in with it. We don't want to be, you know, gorgeous and breathtaking in one area and then not meeting the mark in another, so absolutely we will, you'll see that.
That's a very good answer. thank you very much for coming out, and let me encourage you to continue to consult with the municipalities in which you're located, because we all have a great interest in the success of the Niagara Parks Commission, because as you succeed, we succeed as communities. So thank you very much for coming out.
Mayor, as a closing remark, if I could just say that your council, independently, individually, all of you do an amazing job in working through your mayor in getting messages through to the Parks Commission, and I have to let you know that those messages do get to us, and I hope that we're responsive enough to meet your needs. So thank you for your input.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That takes us to the next delegation, which is Richard Patarak, Chair in Glenda, Calcutta, of the Beachcombers Senior Citizens Association.
Good evening, Your Worship, members of Council. I would first start by saying that our presentation is a little broader than the annotation in the notes, so we have a very exciting slide deck. And
is it likely to go beyond 10 minutes?
No, we're going to try to keep it under 10 minutes.
Okay, thank
we
you.
We understand the limitations, but we might ask for a little indulgence. The other thing that I would mention is that we started out with seeing that Fort Erie has a very engaged youth component. Tonight you're going to find out that we have a very engaged senior citizens component.
Well, they're the future senior citizens.
They don't like to think so. So Glenda Calcutta is going to undertake the PowerPoint. Got a few technological struggles at the beginning here, so we're all set now.
Are those speakers necessary for, please proceed.
Thank you very much for allowing our Beachcombers group to speak to Town Council about our dreams and our vision for the future. As identified by the growth plan for the Greater Golden Horseshoe area, seniors are the fastest growing population base with unique needs which communities need to understand and address. This upcoming group requires a wide range of age-friendly housing options and access to healthcare, recreation, and community services. The baby boomers have begun transition into old age, and that, along with the low Canadian birth rate, is changing the population makeup. And what else do we know about the aging baby boomer generation, many of which live in Ontario? They are displaying higher levels of physical, mental, and emotional fitness than previous generations. They are not slowing down. They are living longer. Boomers don't believe in spending money needlessly. Boomers are less interested in riding into the sunset in their golden years. They want to make continuing positive contributions to their family, their community, and the world. They need to be needed. So not only are 50% of our Fort Erie population seniors, Fort Erie saw a 6% increase of the 50-plus population between the 2011 and 2016 census period. That age group is growing faster than the general population, which only rose 2.5% during the same period. The Niagara area, in fact, is a major attractor of retiring singles and couples from elsewhere in Ontario and across Canada and beyond, and we expect this trend to continue. Here is a picture of our current Beachcomber Senior Center, which we own and maintain. The club began in a garage or a family room of one of the founders in the early 1970s, and we have been growing and moving and expanding ever since. We currently own our own facility on Ridge Road and have 325 members. Our club is a registered charitable nonprofit organization which has an elected executive board of directors and many members who are volunteers. We own our own building and are constantly improving it to meet our growing needs. Our members pay a yearly membership fee and they also partake in many of the activities and events that we organize. We run our social events at cost and organize a few fundraising events to support our community donations. We also receive modest yearly grants from the municipality and the province. Our mission statement encompasses our goals to operate and maintain a safe, welcoming, and attractive multipurpose facility, to build a sense of ownership whereby members share responsibility for the life of the center and for each other's welfare, to enable personal fulfillment through meaningful volunteer opportunities, to provide programs which address wellness, recreational, educational, and social needs, to provide highly quality, nutritious food at the lowest possible cost, to advocate for seniors in the area, to play a leading role in providing information and referral services to our members, to explore new initiatives to serve our members, to network and develop partnership opportunities with other organizations. These values are the foundation of our center and guide our actions. We are a very active senior center with a monthly calendar filled with activities and events. A weekly email newsletter is sent out which contains items to remind our members of the club and the community events within the next week. Our activities include inexpensive classes for computer and upholstery and crafts and quilting and painting, activities such as pickleball and shuffleboard and darts and line dancing and tai chi, euchre, cribbage, shutter cards, scrabble. They're all scheduled throughout the week. Many social events are planned, like a monthly potluck dinner, a murder mystery dinner, karaoke, 50s dances. We go on trips to the Niagara River cruises or visit the Toronto CN Tower. So we're very active. But as this picture depicts, we are bursting at the seams. We can't have events for all of our members because there just isn't enough room in our current facility. We don't really have a real gym area, so we're making do playing pickleball with rules that say if you hit the ceiling fan, well, that's, you know, a dead ball. Got to start over. We're having a hard time accommodating all of our new activities that our members want to do. And then sometimes the community wants to use our facility, but because of our jammed schedule, we don't have a room for them to fit in. Our current downtown Ridgeway location has parking as an issue for us because we don't have all of our members, being seniors, would like to park close because they somehow have mobility issues, and so that parking is an issue. So what we've done is we started to look at some of our options, and that's sort of why we're here tonight. when we started to search out our solutions, we realized that there's many needs in the area that we can link together with. Beachcomber facility needs, along with the senior members' housing needs, align with the senior population growth and the baby boomers' needs that we started with. These ultimately align with the growth plan and vision for the Greater Golden Horseshoe, which should fit in the plans and the vision for the Greater Fort Erie Town and the Town of Fort Erie officials we are addressing tonight. We live in an aging community, which is growing, and we can make a difference. We can improve the quality of life for seniors. We just hope the Greater Fort Erie is a supportive community environment where seniors are recognized as a valuable asset. Seniors have an opportunity to contribute and expand their talents and knowledge. Seniors strengthen our community and benefit personally by their involvement. Seniors have access to a full spectrum of services, including social, emotional, educational, and recreational opportunities appropriate to their unique needs and interests. Seniors are treated respectfully and with dignity, and all seniors of all economic circumstances are served. In looking at the region's vision, we seem to all be talking about the same sort of vision for the future, but how do we get there? We have talked enough about problems, now let's focus on solutions. Let's look at opportunities to meet our community needs together. This chart represents the senior housing options which have available housing. When looking at availability, many long waiting lists are like 3 to 6 years. Many of our members are on those long waiting lists looking to downsize or to move to more age-appropriate housing. Of course, as seniors move to these age-friendly housing units, that opens up more family homes within the Greater Fort Erie area. Aging in place. Seniors want to stay in familiar surroundings, near family and friends, near their church, communities, and bank. As we look at our Ridgeway and Crystal Beach area, there are limited senior housing options. The majority of places today are found in Fort Erie. We look at repurposing, the latest trend which breathes new life into vacant old buildings. The schools are a natural hub within a community, so when a school shut down, it leaves a hole in the neighborhood. One of the guiding principles we saw of the growth plan of Greater Golden Horseshoe was to design complete communities to meet people's needs for daily living throughout an entire lifetime and support healthy and active living. Exactly what we're looking for. Our focus is the senior years. We should conserve resources to support the well-being of our communities. People tend to be passionate about their old school buildings. They have fond memories of the times they spent there, and they feel they have paid for them with their taxes. We need to look for opportunities to make better use of existing infrastructure and less on continuing urban sprawl. So we have looked at our current state and understand that some changes need to happen to allow a transformation to our future state. So what could the future look like, and what will it take to get us there? Community needs require us to breathe life back into a closed, vacant building to become a community hub for seniors and others. Wow, who wouldn't want to live in that place? Development should provide all sorts of senior housing options, which are geared to income for 55-plus communities, independent living, assisted living, nursing care. Here might be an example of a simple one-bedroom apartment or a two-bedroom apartment. There can be many housing options available within the development project. This allows for many people to live together, which builds a supportive social network within a housing unit, to have fun living active, healthy lives, enjoying a variety of activities, where other business partners can be part of the development as well to offer other services to the many seniors living there. These services can include restaurants and grocery, health, or beauty services. there would be outdoor living and entertainment spaces as well. Creative transformations can be included in the repurposing to include art galleries, music rooms, libraries. It could be a cultural landmark for the town with meeting rooms, flower gardens, and playgrounds. We could also provide rooms for training courses or lessons. There is a need for technology training for the specific industries that we have within our area in Fort Erie. Opportunities may exist to repurpose existing infrastructure to solve this need, or to reutilize existing computer facilities for new purposes, like a training center or a call center. Or opportunities with the school repurposing might be to develop a community garden, which could be used to supply a food bank or teach school children gardening fundamentals, or even to just allow a community to rent a spot to grow their private gardens.
Scalcata, can I just ask you how much longer you anticipate you'll
probably
be?
Probably three more slides, I think. Three or four.
Yeah, just a few more slides.
That's fine. I mean, we're quite interested in hearing what you have to say. We just want to keep an eye on the clock.
Options abound to become more green and help offset the climate change. So we have taken a look at our vision for a possible future. We look at the promising potential to repurpose. We've seen there is community need, community interest from us, the Beachcombers, as well as possible interest from industry in the area and hopefully developer interest. We noticed in an article in the Niagara this week, the region was ready to waiver fees, taxes on affordable housing project, which described a private-public partnership model which could help chip away at the long waiting lists for subsidized housing. We need to pool resources to access partner skills and share costs to spread the risk, have more clout to achieve cheaper prices, definitely stronger together as we work toward a solution which benefits us all.
Welcome questions. Before I do that, I have one little request. At some time in the near future, we'd like to see council appoint one of its own members as the point person for the community to deal with on seniors' issues, and also to identify a person on staff who will concentrate on that area.
So, right, that's separate and distinct, I presume, from the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, which...
Yeah, so that organizations who are in the community can go out and can come to the town and talk to councillors and staff people about issues.
So we do have a Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, and Councillor Passero is the council representative, and that meets monthly. And I believe Beachcombers has representation.
Yeah, we do. And it seems to be activity-oriented, and we want to get into more policy.
Right. So just for clarification, beg your pardon?
Through your worship, I'm working with them to try and change that. So it's not so much activity-based. We've had members of staff talk about the transportation aspects, park and open space. So we're moving in that direction.
Thank you.
And what you're looking... From the presentation that you've made, I'm gathering that you're looking at being a partner in some larger effort that may be able to utilize one or more of these schools for the variety of reasons that you've just outlined with a variety of objectives that could improve the community as well as the individuals who live in the community.
Right. So we're looking to partner to try to improve the life of the seniors. And we know that there's a need for housing. Modest housing, affordable, geared to income housing. And that's not what we're seeing a lot being built right now. We're seeing more geared to higher end, looking, you know, at the wealthy people coming from Toronto or whatever.
Right. And this presentation, I presume you've provided to our clerk. If not, could you please, and then the clerk could circulate that to members of council so that we've got that, because we do have opportunities that arise when there are developments that take place in the community, and there will be some opportunities that will arise once these schools come online in terms of potential repurposing.
We certainly applaud Council's move last week in terms of the designation of the frontis of the high school, because I believe that will attract a different kind of developer than to tear it down and build on a naked site.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gorgeous site. The front of the building is part of the heritage of the community, and if we can use that as bait, if you will, to attract the right kind of developer, we can have something that's pretty special, we believe. That's a beautiful site.
Thank you. Now, I'll ask members of council if any of them have any questions. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. through you to Glenda and Richard. That was a wonderful presentation, by the way. And I know you want a big stake in this project. So can you explain what that stake would look like?
Well, we are of modest means. You know, we have a small facility now, but if we had partners, our stake would be working with partners and being part of the manpower to get things done. We don't have any staff now. We have a part-time bookkeeper, someone that helps us out with maintenance, very part-time basis. All of our programming is done by our volunteers. So long you can do that. We don't know how long we can do that as we go into the future. And I think part of the deal is as Fort Erie gets larger and as other communities have gotten larger, you realize that if you have facilities, you have to program them and you have to be a little bit more engaged than past. It's a progression. You go from the old township where everything was done by volunteers as you slowly expand plain. But in order to really maximize the use of any facilities, which is what I think we all want to do. I mean, whether it's public or private, you don't want to see something sadly sitting there underused, whether it's a business, a nonprofit, or government or municipal. You want to be part of that, making it everything hum right along. And as stated in our in the PowerPoint, there's a huge population of seniors in Fort Erie and Crystal Beach. That's not the tsunami that's coming. There's a bigger tsunami that will change Fort Erie quite substantially. What would the dynamics of the real estate market in Southern Ontario?
What I really liked was the fact that you looked at repurposing one of the school buildings. In particular, what comes to my mind is the Ridgeway High School because it's sprawling. And so to have an integrated living situation there where you can build up and it's still a community hub, so you can have retail space on the bottom. You can have levels of income dwellers, so senior citizens can have that cost-effective living. And then on the top tier, you can have those individuals, families, who have the capability of affording more to offset the cost for everybody else. And it's a really intriguing idea. I think it's something that's needed in the Niagara Peninsula. We haven't seen anything like that. But the fact that you actually put some thought into it and say, you know, you could have a community garden there. You can have a grocery store and restaurants, and it's one center to serve all people and not just honing in on one select. So I commend you for that thought process.
The other thing I would add is that of the existing three schools, I mean, no one thinks we can save them all or all of them, but right now in this part of the town, there is no indoor recreational opportunity unless you're a young boy and want to play ball hockey or a young man or an older man or a woman who wants to play hockey. There is no gymnasium. We're playing pickleball in an unsafe environment. We're looking for other opportunities to do that and other things. There are three or four gymnasiums in these three. Somehow we could save those components of some of these. That would be quite useful, and I think that's where the town should be looking. Build a gymnasium from scratch. All the infrastructure, the parking, find land after this land is gone. It's haunting.
Daunting. Thank you for that. One other thing I want to mention was the educational component as well, because that's very important. In Niagara, we're struggling for real talent in the technical field. So to integrate that into your plan is hoping that because you went with the idea of a public-private combination, that we can do something as a municipality and also engage some developers that are interested in building up and sprawling it out so that it's a true community.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. Are there any other councillors? Councillor Nutt and then Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you very much for your presentation, Richard and Glenda. In your presentation, you said that you referenced looking for partners. What other community groups have you engaged? I know that there have been other service clubs that have approached the town for assistance, but are you looking to consolidate all of them? Does your plan include partnering in?
We would be welcoming partners. We haven't gone on a search looking for any at this time.
Next group that's going to speak, we are in direct communication with.
Okay, thank you. Just curious, no further questions, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. Richard answered my first question, which was, what is the correlation between yourselves as a delegation and the delegation that we'll hear from next? So I look forward to the information that they will share. But secondly, I just wanted to ask if you're aware of the current series of Niagara Region workshops and information sessions that are currently underway regarding affordable geared-to-income housing stock for seniors.
No, we're not.
Okay. I'll share that information with you both maybe in the days to come.
And, of course, we're unaware of that, but we were also unaware of the announcement last Friday for the National Strategy on Housing, which the Prime Minister announced, which I hope will change the game a little bit in Niagara with government possibly being able to up the ante and consider more rent geared to income housing in this part of the world.
Yeah, the region through you, Your Worship, does have a very good strategy at the moment, and it could definitely use some more funding to make sure that it's more broad-based throughout the region. So thank you both for your time.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Thank you very much, both of you.
We apologize for going over time. You hold us. Next time we come, we'll be
You get less time.
Short.
Next time you get less time. That takes us to our final delegation, and this is representation from the Steering Committee of Advancing Crystal Beach, and will be addressed by Leah Fayor. Good evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us here tonight. It's a pleasure to hear all of the inspiring presentations from the youth to the seniors, and of course, the Niagara Parks Commission, where I started out as an employee, and I really love to see their new mandate moving forward with stewardship and sustainability. There's a lot to look forward here in Fort Erie area. I recently moved here from Niagara Falls, and I'm finding a very nice home in Crystal Beach. Since being here, I've had the pleasure of getting to know members of the community and members of Advancing Crystal Beach. As Mayor Redekop said, my name is Leah Fayor, and not only am I a resident of Crystal Beach, but I'm a board member now of Advancing Crystal Beach, a grassroots neighborhood organization, and we go by the name ACB often, so that's how I'll refer to us. Simply put, our goal is to revitalize our community by creating opportunities. It has made significant strides forward by partnering with local establishments who participate in our programs. These initiatives are outlined in the accompanying handouts. Due to a limited capacity of local businesses and churches to provide venues for ongoing dynamic programs, we are facing some barriers to growth. The Crystal Beach community needs a new resource. This growing village sector of the town of Fort Erie is indeed without a neighborhood store, excluding the post office or a couple of restaurants, and will never become a vibrant, life-fulfilling community without one. Think of the village green, the town square, or the parish hall of days gone by. A model such as the modern community hub makes it easier for local residents to access health, social, cultural, recreational fitness, and other resources they need. The opportunity afforded through the current assessment of the school property for rezoning and redevelopment cannot be missed. The site could provide a range of mixed uses, including designated space for community use. To date, we have collected over 300 signatures from local residents who avidly express the need for a community hub. The conceptual development option A presented by the town of Fort Erie last week, we were incredibly pleased to see the preservation of the school itself for adaptive reuse. We hope that it is considered as a viable location for a community hub, which can be collaboratively used by the residents of Fort Erie and local organizations. While the conceptual development option B featured a much-needed apartment building to create housing at a more affordable price point for our community members, it would be a shame to see the school demolished for redevelopment. If there is a way to incorporate these beneficial features from both options A and B, we believe that would be a win-win for our community. ACB, as a community development organization, sees the need for diverse and accessible housing to attract and retain a variety of demographics. This is vital to a vibrant community. With new builds being priced at about $500,000 each for a single-family home, we need additional options that are more affordable for the residents of Niagara.
ACB is happy to work alongside the town, developers, and other interested community organizations to steer Crystal Beach in the direction of reaching its full potential. We continue to be a tourist destination. We were once a thriving village too, and we know that we can get there again. This beautiful area is attracting more and more people, but with little to offer them beyond the beach and a few shops and restaurants, they don't stay for long or spend much money. Community economic development requires a variety of supporting contributions. Skills training, accessible retail office space, and networking events are just a few of them. ACB is working towards creating these opportunities for locals and out-of-towners looking for a place to relocate. Welcome newcomers, and we invite them to get involved in the revitalization of our village, which will ultimately benefit the town of Fort Erie. We hope that moving forward, we can build a stronger relationship with the town of Fort Erie, its council members, and other interested stakeholders in realizing our mission of revitalizing our village through positive, collaborative, year-round community-based actions. Beachcomber Senior Club is an excellent example of a vibrant local organization, and we support their pursuit of acquiring a decommissioned school to serve as their headquarters. We look forward to watching them grow as they continue to provide resources to the 50-plus community. Thank you, Mayor Redekoff and council members.
Thank you. You win the prize for the briefest and most concise presentation.
Succinct is my specialty. Congratulations.
That's right. Quality, not quantity.
You go.
No, all of the delegations were extremely informative and very helpful for us as a community. Thank you very much. And again, we're hearing similar type themes from the previous speakers. Any members of council have any specific questions? Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Leah. I noted in your handout that you mentioned an NPI grant for a community garden. Are there other forms of financing that your organization receives?
At this time, I believe Orma can field that question. Thank you.
Hi, Orma.
Please come forward.
We haven't received any other grants. We've worked on a shoestring for the last couple of years. We did do the community garden with the MPI grant. We found that it was far enough away out of Crystal Beach for that people couldn't get to it to really participate actively in the community garden. So we decided not to continue with that this year. We're looking instead to people on Esme Lane especially have asked that we help them create little gardens within their own facility. Sorry.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
So that's going to be a bit more of a focus this year in terms of helping people individually on Esme Lane to have their own garden.
I appreciate that answer. You have done remarkable for the limited amount of funding that you have received. And going forward, I think there's some definite further partnerships that could be entrenched just based on the work that you've done to date. So thank you very much.
Any other councillors? Thank you very much for coming out this evening, and I look forward to hearing from both you and the Beachcombers as these issues progress. Thank
have
you.
A great evening.
Thank you. So that's it for the delegations, and if you folks wish to leave at this point, please feel free to do so. We'll now proceed with the consent agenda. Are there any items that any councillor wishes removed from the consent agenda? If not, Councillor Lubert, you have the resolution for consent agenda items.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekoff. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments about any of the items in the consent agenda? Madam Clerk, I would just point out that in the minutes of the November 14th meeting, regular Council meeting, there's a reference during the announcements, paragraph 4, to Antoine Gaber. The minutes say Anton, it should be Antoine.
We'll correct that, Your Worship.
Okay, great. Thank you. If there are no other questions or comments, then I'll call the question. All those in favor of the resolution? None opposed. That is carried. That then takes us to new business. And Councillor Zanko, you have a resolution. But if your seconder was Councillor Passero, you'll have to get another seconder.
No, Your Worship. My seconder was Councillor Nutt.
Thank you.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that Council appoints Councillor McDermott to the Dangerous Dog Appeals Committee for the purpose of the hearing scheduled for January 9th, 2018, only in Councillor Butler's absence as an alternate.
Are there any questions or comments on that? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Congratulations, Councillor McDermott. You get now to deal with dangerous dogs. Always exciting. Councillor Lubert, you have the next resolution relative to the Crystal Beach Business Improvement Association.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that Council appoints Rick Bovin to the Crystal Beach Business Improvement Area Board of Management for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to that? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. And Councillor McDermott, you have the next resolution.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that Council accepts the resignation of Stephen Passero from the Bridgeport Station Downtown Business Improvement Area Board of Management, and further that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Any questions or comments? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Worship. I just want to say that it's been a privilege to serve that board for a number of years now. We did have a number of great candidates come forward, which is the reason I am stepping down. And I know that Councillor McDermott has been working very hard down there, and that's one of the reasons why we see a renewed interest in people who want to serve on that board. So it's been a pleasure. I'm thankful that they'll continue to allow Barb Horning and I to do the Santa Claus Parade on their behalf. We look forward to that, and I also look forward to the tremendously giant fruit basket that Councillor McDermott will be sending me.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor McDermott, you have the next resolution.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that Council appoints Deborah Fairley to the Bridgeburg Station Downtown Business Improvement Area Board of Management for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to that resolution? All in favor? None opposed? That is carried. And Councillor McDermott, will let you finish this little run.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that Council appoints Noel LaBeouf to the Bridgeburg Station Downtown Business Improvement Area Board of Management for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Any items of new business or inquiries? Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Your Worship. We've had several emails back and forth with regards to Hibbard Street and the lack of room there is to maneuver cars from driveways into that roadway. I just wondered through you if Mr. Brady could just speak to that.
Yes, of course. Mr. Brady.
Certainly. The believe there's only one driveway that has been identified as having some difficulties. The I was out there this afternoon and took a look at it. The actual curbs that are in place now are at the furthest extent that they can be on Hibbert Street. They are the furthest extent of the road allowance that we own. I'm going to have Jeremy and the engineer for the site go out and look at it tomorrow. And take a look at it from both a drainage perspective and also a maneuverability perspective, both now and with the asphalt. I suspect that with the asphalt, it'll be the maneuverability will be improved, but I'll wait for the engineer to take a look at it and give me his answers.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just so you know, I did, and I know that the mayor did as well, take a drive down there, and I did pull into that particular driveway and tried to pull out, and it's very, very difficult to get out there. It took me four attempts to finally get my car out. I drive a crossover, so in the grand scheme of things, it's just mid-size, but it was very difficult. My fear is that even with the asphalt being poured and laid, that they're still going to have that problem, and there has to be another solution to be able to help them maneuver in and out of their driveway.
Councillor Butler, you're quite correct. I was out there and I had some difficulty as well. That's prior to the pavement being laid down, and the reality is that the curb, and I checked the survey to make sure that these curbs are at the, as Mr. Brady has indicated, they're at the property lines, and so they would be equivalent to what the traveled portion of the road was before. But as you know, oncoming cars would often go outside of the traveled portion of the road to pass each other. They're not going to have the luxury of doing that now with those curbs, which means maybe the only solution is to remove the curbs on the south side of the road, so that maybe even the north side beyond where that development is. But that's something that Mr. Brady can look into. Looks attractive, but it may not be functional.
No, I agree with you, Your Worship. And the other thing that I would like to mention is that you're quite correct. Prior to the curbs being put in, the roadway was very skinny to begin with, and so cars did have to maneuver, and they were traveling on lawnways. And this is going to obviously prevent it, but at the same time, there's only room for one car going in one direction at a time. So I think we have to analyze that and decide how we're going to handle that as well.
Well, short of expropriating some property to widen that little stretch, Hibbard is wide in a couple of areas. It's very narrow coming off of Ridge Road. It's about that width down just before you get to the Willow development. And as I said, short of expropriating, maybe just removal of the curbs will be the only other option. But we'll wait to see what staff can determine after they've been out there tomorrow. Certainly it's a cause of concern for the resident who's having the difficulty. Anything further, Councillor Butler? Any other councillors? Councillor Nutt?
Yes, just to follow that up, I was at the location today, Hibbard Street, and have been down there quite frequently because I go to trail sites quite often on date night. But my question to Mr. Brady is, Hibbard Road is as skinny as some of the streets in Crystal Beach. Are similar streets normally curbed, or is this just something that we did for this development in particular?
Mr. Brady?
Hibbard Street is certainly one of the narrower streets in town, and similar in cross-section to the ones in Crystal Beach. The area, as you turn off of Ridge onto Hibbard, right there, it's narrower there than the area that we're speaking about. And on both sides of that road, there are brick buildings. So certainly it would be very difficult, if not impossible, for cars to pass each other at that point. And that's been operating for many years, and the mayor is able to operate in and out of there with his driving.
That's what they say. We don't know.
Anyhow, yes, it's normal to put in curbs and gutters on the roads when we're rebuilding them. It's a part of the normal process. It would be interesting if we removed the curb and gutters in front of that gentleman's property and then left it through the rest of the property. It could be done, but I'm not. We would have to bear the cost of that since the developer has already placed them in place. But we can take a look at that. But the road itself is narrow. There's nothing I can do about that. We down below, we've taken some additional lands as part of the development. And therefore, we're able to have the road widened, and we have done that. That's why there's a bit of a hook in it now, and then it widens out. And it should work quite well through that section. But you're right, it is going to be narrow in that place. And if it continues to be a problem, the only thing I can think of is to remove the curbs. And I wouldn't suggest that we remove one just the south side. We'd probably remove them both, just cut them and remove them. And if we did that, the area in front of this gentleman's house wouldn't be as nice, be able to actually get into his driveway. I don't think there'll be any problem when it's asphalted, but nonetheless, we'll take a peek.
I presume before we get to that stage, there'd be some consultation.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not done. Are you suggesting we should consult with the fellow about removing the curbs?
I think if there's going to be some changes made, I think that we should at least have the dialogue, and
that's fine. But remember, the asphalt is plants are closing very quickly, and we're wanting to have that asphalted. It'll be much more difficult to take it out after.
We'll have to have the dialogue sooner rather than later. Okay. Councillor Nutt, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm just always concerned when I'm turning right onto that road because I drive a Dodge Ram 1500 pickup. I take up the entire laneway, and I'm always afraid that the mayor's leaving his office and we're going to meet in an uncomfortable situation.
I go around and just go past trail sides.
there are streets that also in Crystal Beach, when I travel them with my truck and in amongst around Queens Circle and whatnot, that my truck does take up the entire laneway. And I'm just wondering, those streets, although the sidewalks, there are no curbs, there are sidewalks though, and the functionality is, in reality, is if someone is coming, as long as there's no one on the sidewalk, you just kind of pull to that side. So I was wondering if consideration would be given to the similar type of situation, but you've answered that, and that we'll take a look at that. Thank you. Nothing further.
And remember, these are rolling curbs, so that these are not straight up curbs or whatever they call the other ones. What are they called? Mountable curbs. Yeah, barrier curbs, as opposed to the rolling curbs or mountable curbs, so that vehicles can go on to the onto the curb a little easier. Anything further, Councillor Nutt? Anyone else? Mr. Cooker, did you want to give us an update with respect to Sunset Road and anything else?
Sure. Last week I gave a detailed update on most projects. Not a lot has changed other than Sunset Drive is now complete. We did a major culvert installation there, and the guide rails are up, so that road is now open again for public use.
Thank you. Councillor McDermott?
Yes. Just one question through you to Mr. Walsh. Mr. Walsh, are we still on target for December 4th start on Catherine Street?
Mr. Walsh.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes. The week of December 4th, not December 4th specifically.
And that's anticipated to take how long?
We're expecting 5 or 6 weeks of underground work down there. That takes us into mid-January, early February, depending on weather conditions. We'll restore the granular base for the road as best possible with asphalt to follow in the spring.
Councilor Becerra.
Thank you, Worship. In light of the devastating news today regarding the Fort Erie Times, and I consider it to be devastating because it takes away another voice in the community and an avenue for everyone, how are we preparing ourselves to make sure that we make all of our notice periods under the Planning Act and the things that we have traditionally utilized the Fort Erie Times for?
Mr. Cook, have you and staff had an opportunity to deal with this?
Through your worship, to the councillor, no, we haven't. This caught us totally off guard today when we got this news. excuse me, not prepared, but it does affect many things, our advertising, as well as our community guide, because we've been working with the Fort Erie Times, putting together this community guide. They've been a great partner on that. Cost us nothing to put that guide together. They acquired the advertising fees for that. There again, we're going to sit down and talk about that later this week and kind of try to find a solution, but it did catch us off guard.
Please circulate your conclusions to members of council. Thank you. Being no further inquiries or new business, that takes it. Okay.
Sorry,
this is like
Worship.
Deja vu.
It is.
Just
one
alive.
More inquiry to Mr. Walsh. I was out on Burger Road this weekend, and I drove northbound towards Netherby Road, and I noticed that the 50-kilometer sign, I could not see it until I was virtually on top of it, and I would like to make the request that brushing for Burger Road on the east and west side of the road be conducted when we're doing our brushing this winter.
That was near Burger Road near?
It was between Fox Road and Netherby. There's a section there that the bushes overgrown the mileage sign. I actually didn't see the mileage sign that stated it was 50 kilometers until I was just about on it. Mind you, I wasn't
Common
speeding.
Occurrence. Common occurrence.
Yeah, I wasn't driving like the mayor. I was just, driving my usual leisurely pace because it was on a Saturday.
I happen to know that's a 50-kilometer zone, quite attuned to that.
What, 70?
Always follow the rules. That takes us to motions, and Councillor Butler, you have the first motion.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Passero, whereas the roles and responsibilities for health care services are shared between provincial and territorial governments and the federal government, and whereas the federal government is responsible for setting and administering national standards for the health care system through the Canada Health Care Act, funding support, and other health-related functions, and whereas the province of Ontario is responsible for the management, organization, and delivery of health care services for their residents, and whereas the Niagara Health System is part of the Hamilton-Niagara-Haldimand Branch Local Health Integration Network, most commonly known as the LHIN, and covers the geographic area that encompasses Brant, Burlington, Haldimand, Hamilton, Niagara, and most of Norfolk, with approximately 1.4 million people, and is the second largest LHIN in Ontario, and whereas the Niagara Health System is responsible for servicing 450,000 Niagara residents across six sites, which is comprised of three hospitals in Niagara Falls, St. Catharines, and Welland, two urgent care facilities located in Fort Erie and Port Colborne, and one nurse practitioner clinic in Niagara on the Lake, and whereas Niagara's emergency rooms are currently experiencing the same difficulties as those across Canada of being overcrowded, overburdened, and under-resourced, which is evident with longer triage and wait times, lack of available beds resulting in more patients laying on stretchers and hallways, lack of extra doctors, nurses, personal support workers, cleaning staff, and proper medical and cleaning supplies, and whereas Niagara currently faces immense challenges in servicing medical needs of the residents, and whereas there is a need for further investment in the Niagara Health System as it relates to providing additional resources to the growing demands of healthcare, and whereas the Council of the Town of Fort Erie recognizes its responsibility of representing the residents of the Town of Fort Erie advocating for access to great medical care and facilities. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Town of Fort Erie hereby expresses the needs for additional and immediate financial commitment to Niagara's health facilities from the federal government, the provincial government, the LHIN, and the Niagara Health System, as opposed to named individuals, so that the additional beds can be made available to alleviate the current status of overcrowded, overburdened, and under-resourced emergency rooms, and further, that the Council of the Town of Fort Erie also expresses the needs for additional medical staffing that includes extra doctors, nurses, personal support workers, cleaning staff, and proper medical and cleaning supplies to be included as part of that financial commitment, and further, that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the Region of Niagara, all municipalities within Niagara, MPPs Wayne Gates, Cindy Forrester, Sam Oosterhoff, Jim Bradley, MPs Vance Badaway, Rob Nicholson, Chris Biddle, Dean Allison for their support, and further, that a copy of this resolution also be forwarded to the Office of the Prime Minister of Canada, the Honourable Justin Trudeau, the Office of Premier Kathleen Wynne, Federal Health Minister Jeanette Petipas-Taylor, the Ontario Health Minister, Minister of Health and Long-Term Care Dr. Eric Hoskins, Minister of Finance Charles Souza, President of the Niagara Health System, Suzanne Johnson, and the CEO of the Niagara Health System, Kevin Smith.
Did you wish to speak to that?
I do. I think it's really important to first say that we have talented, wonderful medical professionals in the area. Specifically in our Fort Erie Urgent Care, we have some of the most incredible doctors there and nurses also in the other areas. There's an old saying, never trouble trouble until trouble troubles you. And the reason why I bring this motion forward is because trouble troubled me. And so I got to witness firsthand what happens in an emergency ward. And being one of those individuals that were on the stretcher in the middle of the hallway in the emergency room for several days, is troublesome. We have a lot of individuals that rely on a certain level of care, and I think that we're letting them down. And it's when you look at the statistics from the NHS and know that there's a $9 million surplus, you know that there's some ample money there where you can open up some beds or a floor in the hospitals so that you can address the overcrowding and the overburdened and under-resourced situation.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak to that? Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Your Worship. Just to add on to Councillor Butler's motion, and we heard it tonight from the Beachcombers presentation, we have an aging population in Fort Erie. Basically, when people ask me, you're on council, what's the makeup of the town? I said, we have two, basically, we're made up of two kinds of people. People with young families and senior citizens. And I think that the approach that's been taken with the reduction of our healthcare services puts us at a disadvantage. Because we're geographically larger, that's never taken into consideration, and they look at us, basically, I feel that we're penalized because we're not part of a larger city, not just within the Niagara region, but we're not part of Toronto Centre or the surrounding GT area, so our voice, I think, often just gets pushed aside, and we've had many rallies in the past and a lot of support for our hospital, but where this government has a limited vision and limited foresight is that they can't see that people are leaving the large cities at the time that they retire. As they head into their retirement is when they need the healthcare the most, when they need it, and when the government consolidates hospitals and cuts back on services, they're really disadvantaging the rural communities and the small urban communities more so than any other community within the province. And I think that we can never be too loud or yell too often about this subject. And I think that the province needs to start taking a longer look than a four-year election cycle. What are we going to do to make sure we get back in? There has to be a long-term strategy put together that addresses the small urban, small rural communities where many people are retiring to. And that is often the simplest thing, and it's often overlooked. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nutt. Anyone else? Councillor Butler, I wonder if you might add at the end of who gets a copy of this, the CEO of the Lynn, Donna Cripps. They've been very supportive of our initiatives, and I had given her the heads up about this notice of motion and motion that you were bringing forward. So that would be a friendly amendment, Madam Clerk?
Yes, Your Worship, it would.
Thank you. If there are no further comments, then all those in favor of the motion, opposed, that is carried. Thank you. I wonder if I could give you the chair so that my motion.
Yes, thank you. You may.
I move, seconded by Councillor Nutt. Whereas at various times in the past, the Town Council has had the benefit of the work and advice of a Community Health and Wellness Committee and a Community Hospital Services Advisory Committee, both of which included representation from health service providers, interested and knowledgeable residents, and members of Council, and whereas recently, efforts to coordinate health services for the community and attract new physicians to Fort Erie have been undertaken by part-time staff of the municipality without the assistance or benefit of consultation with a community-based advisory committee. And whereas the actions of the Niagara Health System and the Hamilton-Niagara-Haldeman-Brandt Local Health Integration Network have significant effects on the quality, level, accessibility, and effectiveness of hospital and health services available to residents of and visitors to Fort Erie. And whereas it is desirable to engage the residents and health services providers of Fort Erie in efforts to ensure that individuals living in, working in, or visiting Fort Erie have meaningful access to the range of health services, including emergency hospital care, that a growing, vibrant community needs and deserves, now therefore be it resolved that staff be directed to provide a report to Council, including terms of reference, on how best to proceed to establish an advisory committee to provide information, advice, and recommendations to Council relative to the health and hospital services required by the residents of Fort Erie, accessibility to those services, partnerships that may be available to provide such services in an efficient manner, strategies to attract and retain physicians, programs that promote wellness among the residents of Fort Erie, the cost of undertaking such an initiative, and any matters incidental to those objectives, and further, that the report provide advice on the potential size and membership of the committee, which should include representation from health service providers, interested and knowledgeable residents, and members of Council, and further, that the committee be named the Community Health and Wellness Advisory Committee to reflect the focus on not only health and hospital needs, but also on the importance and benefit of healthy lifestyles. And Madam Chair, this is something that has been in discussion with the CAO and Mr. Wilson, who has been providing these health related services and physician recruitment efforts for some time. And so it seems to me that with the recent announcement of the new hospital and what appears to be the likely change in services that will be available to the smaller communities, including Fort Erie, once that happens, that it is necessary for us to, again, reinstitute this type of initiative, which has been effective in the past under the guise of different names and for past councils. So I'm hoping that council will support this.
Are there any other members of council that have any questions or comments with regard to Mayor Redekop's motion? Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I totally support the motion coming forward, but I just wanted to make the comment that it was unfortunate when we first started this term of council. We had an advisory committee from the hospital, and we elected, this council elected to dissolve that that committee. And so now we're seeing ourselves in a position where that committee has to be reinstated. Given that it's a different name and stuff, doesn't change the fact that it was still, we needed a health advisory committee or hospital advisory committee, and we dissolved it, and now we're seeing that that was a mistake. But I'm going to support this 100%. I supported the last one, and hopefully we can move forward, and committee will last for several years. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Liberts. Does anyone else have any comments or questions? Councillor McDermott.
Well, I know since day one that I've come into office that I have been asking for this term of reference to be put forward to council, and so I guess way is better than never. I disagree with Councillor Lubert's comments, though, about this committee, because this committee is going to be somewhat different based on the idea that I think this committee has got to know a lot of important things. If we're not going to have what we realize is to be a UCC, and it's supposed to be something else, then I think that we have to protect our territory and all the hard work that's been done up to this point to add services to the UCC, because we didn't have half the services when our healthcare was under threat. So this has got to be a committee that is going to bring us the viewpoint of doctors and healthcare workers and nurses, practitioners, and tell us what we should be looking for and what comes forward after the new hospital. So do I think that Fort Erie is going to be left out by the NHS? No, I don't. But I suspect that we'll be asked to take less, and I think we have to stand up to protect all of the services that we have today and find out what services we could use in the future. And I think our growth can help us make that argument. Will we get a full-fledged hospital? Probably not, because this government isn't decentralizing and regionalizing, and these are the things small towns have to go through. I am glad this is coming forward, but I think it's a much different committee than what Councillor Lubert was talking about, because basically the committee that was set up there was a committee based on trying to find new services to bring in, and palliative care came about after that. So it wasn't a useless committee. It was a committee that was sent to Douglas Memorial Hospital. So this is a new committee. It's going to take some expertise in it, as well as getting residents' viewpoint, and I welcome the discussion that will come with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. Is there any further comments or questions? Seeing none, I will call the question. All those in favor? And that carries, and I'm happy to hand the chair back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zanko. That takes us into Councillor Passero. You have a motion?
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko. Whereas the Kinsman Pool facility has provided thousands of individuals with swimming lessons, water safety instruction, and a safe outdoor space to enjoy aquatic activities. And whereas the Kinsman Pool facility is approaching 50 years of use and is starting to require rehabilitative work at an accelerated rate each year. And whereas previous facility studies have shown that the cost to repair and maintain the facility in its current state and retrofit the facility to comply with current building code laws and accessibility requirements under AODA legislation is cost prohibitive in the long term compared to replacing the facility, and whereas the design of the pool is no longer commensurate with current user trends and desired programming options, and whereas overwhelming community support has demonstrated it is desirable to maintain a publicly accessible outdoor facility for the provision of swimming lessons and safe aquatic recreation for all. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Council supports, in principle, the replacement of the Kinsman Pool. And further, that Council directs staff to initiate a community consultation process in March 2018 to solicit ideas for the design of a new facility to include a splash pad component. And further, that Council directs staff to provide design options and associated cost estimates in July 2018. And further, that based on the cost estimates of Council's preferred design, Council directs staff to recommend to Council a funding strategy to raise one-third of the estimated construction cost, spread over 5 years and comprised of development charge dollars and base levy increases, and that this strategy be included for consideration in the 2019 budget deliberations. And further, that the remaining two-thirds of funding be a municipal priority for future provincial and federal grants and programs earmarked for facility and or recreational infrastructure. And Your Worship, in consultation with staff and with the blessing of my seconder, I'd like to add that staff bring forward a cost for the provision of the consultation and design aspects noted above for consideration during our current budget deliberations.
Could you do that again? Just the last one.
Would be that staff bring forward a cost for the provision of the consultation and design aspects noted above for consideration during our current budget deliberations.
Okay, we'll get the clerk to read that back. Okay, then what we'll do is we'll have Councillor Passero write that out and give it to the clerk.
Put it on there. Yeah.
Okay, before we vote on that. Did you wish to speak to this?
If I could, Your Worship. I don't think there's any secret as to my passion for the Kinsman Pool and the passion that exists throughout the community. I think that was evidenced in the rallying cries we heard and the support that came forward to get the pool reopened. The need still does exist in contrast to some of the things that we heard a few years ago. Everybody has a backyard pool. Nobody takes swimming lessons anymore in the summertime, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The numbers that we have shown in the past 3 years that the pool has been reopened have blown all of those things right out of the water, no pun intended. The difficulty is I'm a very good pool operator. We have a very good team, but none of us are miracle workers. And we're dealing with an aging facility that every spring when we show up in March to start cleaning and power washing and getting everything ready, we never know what we're in for. So the writing is on the wall. I don't know when it will come. I am certainly hoping that through the support of many to date and many in the future that we can keep the current facility operational and safe over the next 5 years while we pursue this strategy, but there are no guarantees. I do want to recognize somebody in the audience, and that's Ms. Joyce Lee. Her and I have been on this since the very beginning. She approached me. We've been partners in crime ever since. It's been a long journey, but I think this is a very fiscally responsible strategy going forward. It's not replacing the pool tomorrow. It's setting the stage over the next 5 years to get one-third, and hopefully we can have some infrastructure funding that comes down the pipe specifically for recreational projects. That's the reason we got the skateboard park done. We had a plan in place. We had a design, and we pulled the trigger when it came time. The other thing I wanted to note, and it sticks out in my mind, is in the 7 and a little bit years that I've had the fortune of sitting here, we've only ever given out, I believe, two or three medals for bravery. We did one very recently to a gentleman that jumped in at the coal docks to assist someone who was having trouble swimming. And we did so during my first term on council to an individual who rescued someone whose snowmobile had crashed through the ice in Crystal Beach. Both of those gentlemen credit the life-saving techniques and the swimming lessons they received as teenagers at the Kinsman Pool. So I don't think that should go lost on anybody. We are surrounded by water. It is a very dangerous place, and we need a place where kids can go to learn how to swim at a very reasonable rate, and that's what we're currently doing at the Kinsman Pool and look to do in the future. So I would hope to have council support. This does not commit us to any dollars, not even close, with the exception of some budget dollars I'll be fighting for when we come back in the new year to get the process started. But after that, it's a long-term strategy, and I think it's a fiscally responsible one. The current pool has a 50-year legacy, and I believe a new facility could have a 50, 60, 70, 80-year future. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you. Anyone else? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just, can I get the last that read again? I'm having a little problem with that, and the second that in the resolution. What was the last that?
If I could, Councillor, I'll go in order. So the second that is the one that's currently written on the agenda, which is council directs staff to initiate a community consultation process in March 2018 to solicit ideas for the design of a new facility to include a splash pad component. And then the one that I am adding is that staff bring forward a cost for the provision of the consultation and design aspects noted above. So that would be the community consultation process and the provision of designs for council's consideration, and that we would debate the cost for doing that in our current budget deliberations.
Okay, thank you very much. Second question that I have, I guess I would have to ask Mr. Jansen. When I'm reading in here, we're going to increase the base budget in order to facilitate the new pool. Did we increase the base budget to facilitate the theater across the street?
Through the chair to council, Lubberts, no, we did not. We used available reserves as they were identified in our audited statements.
Yes, thank you very much. I didn't think so, and there's the problem that I have with this here motion. I understand Councilor Passero's passion and his commitment to keep this pool in the park for the, you know, for the kids and everything, but I don't know that we should be increasing the base budget to build the pool. All the other projects that we've had in this town, we always rely on surpluses or reserves. And so if we have that reserve or if we have that surplus, then we can identify the funding in there. But I'm not supportive of increasing the base budget to build the pool.
Councilor Nutt?
Thank you, Your Worship. Maybe Councillor Passero could clarify this motion, the third at that he added. Is the baseline item for just the design work, or is it for infrastructure build funds?
The base levy increase does not come into play now. That's part of the five-year strategy that would be talked about starting in 2019, and the Council of 2019 can say yes or no. But we're not committing to any base levy increase now. The dollars that I would like to see that I'll be fighting for in the budget, I'm guessing, would come forward as a supplementary item because it would be a one-time use, and that would drop off in the next calendar budget year. So there's no base levy increase being decided on tonight or during this year's budget.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Jansen, I know that the West End Arena is coming to the end of its life cycle. So do we have anything right now currently in the baseline budget for future design work or builds or replacement? Maybe you or Mr. Walsh could speak to it if we do. Are we just being short-sighted by not having some type of small line item in there for replacement of our recreational infrastructure in town?
Mr. Jansen?
I believe Mr. Walsh had something to say?
Walsh. Thank you. We are undergoing a facilities master plan right now, which will identify 10-year needs for all of our hard recreation and community infrastructure. So I think it's premature to put anything in right now.
but the pool has long been identified as being deficient, as Councillor Passero writes out, and that's why it was closed for a number of years. There wasn't the will or the financial might to bring it back to operating level with town resources.
Okay, I'll be a little more direct and rephrase my question. Do we have any budget items set in the current budget that speak specifically to the design for replacement of our town assets for recreational purposes? So when the Leisureplex come to its end of life, or the West End Arena, or the Kinsman Pool, or any of the parks, any of that, are we being short-sighted by not planning for something small that we're capturing a little bit every year for design work for replacement of our recreational assets? Because that's a demand that I never see going away.
Mr. Walsh?
The short answer is no, Mr. Mayor, because nothing, we operate on a 10-year forecast, as council's aware, for capital replacement. There's nothing identified in the 10-year forecast right now that requires replacement. That's why there's no design in there.
Any other councillor that hasn't spoken yet? Then back to Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Looking at where we want to go with this and getting a report from staff and everything, I believe last term of council this pool issue was addressed, and there was a report that was circulated amongst staff and through council regarding the pool and costs of replacement, costs of one was the cost of repairing what we have and bringing up the standards, and then the other one was a cost of the new facility itself, and that included a splash pad as well, I believe. And I'm wondering if staff can recirculate that report to council members so that everybody can see what was brought forward by the consultants of the day.
To what end?
Well, you can bring forward the whole report.
Okay, I'm sure that they can do that. I'm sure, Mr. Cookett, you can do that. Anything further, Councillor Lubberts?
No, that's fine. Thanks.
Any other councillors? Councillor Zane? No? Councillor McDermott?
Well, I'm, being the Ward 1 councillor, I'm pretty much supportive of this. We spend a lot more money in different places of this community, some big-time stuff, and it doesn't get half the use that what the pool does. So, Councillor Passero and his band of volunteers have managed each and every year to put the band-aids on and keep the pool going, and I think it's incumbent on us to do the same thing, because a lot of people today, a lot of young people are learning how to swim just like I did back in the day when Patsy Teal was given the instructions at the pool. I learned it there. Many more are showing interest today. I think the numbers have been very good, and I think we have to promote the fact that probably not only do we need the pool, but I think we're the only park in this area that doesn't have a splash pad. So I'm surprised, because every nook and cranny has one, but Sugar Bowl Park doesn't. But I do support this, and I know it's in the future, and I hope that this council and other councils support this, because it's good for the ward, it's good for our children, and it's good for everybody all the way around.
Any other councillors? Councillor Lubberts for the third time.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just speaking of the what's been happening there the last 3 years, could we get a copy of that too? I don't know who would have the copy. Would the town have the copy of all the things that have been happening there over the last few years, or would that come from the underwater recovery unit? Or
how many?
We leased it to them over the last few years. Is that correct?
Since it's been leased, I believe it's been leased for 2 years.
So they would have the records.
2 years. It'll be third. Okay, so the summers of 15, 16, and 17 have. Okay, so you're looking.
So they would have all the reports on the usage and the.
I presume that there'd be some information. Has there been anything filed with the town?
Not that I'm aware of, but Councillor Passero could provide us with that information, I'm sure, and then we can provide that to all council.
And further to that, the underwater recovery unit, they're the they're releasing it now. And where's their stand on this? Are they giving up the lease? Is that their plan to give up the lease and they don't, did they not want to operate it anymore?
I don't think this resolution calls for the pool agreement with the Denver Water Recovery Unit to be terminated. In fact, this looks like a long-term strategy that would go beyond the further two-year period of that agreement.
All right, thank you. I'm just curious as to where they stand on this. We're not hearing anything from them. Maybe it could have been brought up in the whereases as to where they stand and what their position is.
Councilor Passero.
Thank you for indulgence, Your Worship. They know that this resolution is coming forward. I did a presentation at their meeting. As I operate the pool on their behalf, I'm in constant contact with them. Just regarding some of the statistics that Councilor Luberts is looking for, over 320 lessons were provided this past summer. That's on par with the previous year. The first year we were open, we were only open for 3 weeks. We were rushed to just get the pool open and functioning. That's made possible through a grant through Canadian Tire Jump Starts. Public swims last year, we averaged well over 120 to 160 people per public swim. This year, numbers were down significantly. I don't know how many times you guys were in your backyard pools, but Kinsman Pool is no different. The priority, though, is on the swimming lesson instructional components. Regarding the stance of the Underwater Recovery Unit, they actually support the pool to the extent possible, where they are actually looking at additional fundraising initiatives to offer more programming at the pool. So they're 100% committed. They have 2 years left on the five-year lease. There is an option to renew with mutual consent between the units and the town, and that's something that they will decide 2 years from now. I can tell you a lot of that will be largely based on the condition of the facility at that time, because they are solely responsible for the maintenance, upkeep, and rehabilitation of the facility while it's under their care. So it's very much, let's get through the next 2 years, see what shape they are in, and go from there.
Any other councillors?
Yeah, can I continue?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
This will be Lubert's 4.
Thank you very much. Just to go on with the base budget, and I understand that you're not looking to increase the base budget for next year's budget, but that's what's in this motion, is to actually increase the base budget to build a pool and in the future. So that's where I'm going at with when you finally sit down and start construction, you're going to increase the base budget. And as a rule, we normally don't do that. We go to our reserves, we go to our surpluses, and we go to some grant funding. So I'm not going to support any increase in base budgets to build a pool. Thank you.
Councilor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I happen to think that the words are quite clear in this recommendation. It's to direct staff to recommend to council a strategy, and that strategy be included for consideration in 2019. It's not saying it absolutely has to be there. It's just for consideration. So I'll be supporting this tonight.
Councilor Zanica, would you take over the chair, please? I just want to make some comments with respect to this. I don't know that anyone in this community, while there may be some, who's opposed to having a public pool, and I'm certainly not opposed to it. I think that, as Councilor Passero has mentioned, it's been extremely important for people that live in a community that's surrounded on virtually three sides by water. I have a bit of a challenge with respect to the motion, and the challenge really is this. I agree that the Kinsman Pool should be replaced. I agree in principle that it should be replaced, but I don't know what it's being replaced with. I'm not familiar with previous studies. I'm not familiar with whether those previous studies made any reference to what it could be replaced with, and I don't know whether that just means an outdoor pool similar to what we've got that would take into account accessibility issues and have a splash pad. I presume that based on the comments that I've heard so far, there's no question that the location would be the Sugar Bowl. If I'm incorrect on that, I'd appreciate that. When I see things like design of a new facility, I don't know whether that means something larger, which may or may not be appropriate. if it's larger, even if it's simply replaced, I don't know what the cost is. I don't know what the range of the costs are. So essentially we're being asked to support in principle the replacement of the pool with something that has not yet been defined, at least in my mind. It may very well be defined in the mind of the mover and other counselors. I'm not clear on that. I'm not clear on what the cost might be, and I'm really not too clear on making a commitment to a third of the cost when I don't know what the range of costs might be. So I've got some concerns about that. We talk about design options, which suggests to me that there may be something more than simply a swimming pool with a splash pad. Certainly the wording is clear to me. It may be that it could have been differently worded. As an example, the fourth substantive provision, which says that based on the cost estimate, I would have thought that might have said instead of based, maybe something like subject to the cost estimate or dependent on the cost estimate, that there be some consideration given to a third of the cost. That may be a bit more amorphous than based on, which to me suggests that this is a funding strategy that's being recommended. The notice of motion said that Councilor Passera would be asking staff to prepare a funding strategy with respect to the Kinsman Pool. This, in fact, is a funding strategy with a component that asks for some strategy from staff with respect to how to spread this over 5 years, how to raise the third of the cost, look at the inclusion of development charges, consider, I guess, a base levy increase. That may be appropriate, may not be necessary, could be broader on that. So I'm very interested in the additional wording, which was staff bring forward a cost for the provision of the consultation and design aspects referred to in this motion. I would have thought that we would have started with a report from staff indicating what steps would be recommended by staff to move forward to replace the Kinsman Pool, what the alternatives might be, provide some background with respect to previous studies, give us an indication of the cost of the steps moving forward. Some of this is capital budget stuff, and we've already passed our capital budget, or it looks like we're going to be approving the bylaw this evening. So I would have thought that we would have started at the end as opposed to have the end be basically an afterthought. And so I have concerns about, as I said, about those various items which are still unknown to me. So I support having a pool. I support replacing the Kinsman Pool. Before I vote on a strategy, I'd like to know what it is we're talking about. So I don't know that I can actually support the entire motion. It would be nice if some of this motion were dealt with after we get some information from staff. So that's where I am, Councillor Passera. That's exactly where I am. I'd like to get more information. There's been a reference to a study before. You provided some background information with respect to the use. I don't know what it is that's being proposed. I don't know what kind of design looking at. I think it's prudent for us to be moving forward. I think that makes a lot of sense because this pool is not going to last forever. Duct tape and bandages can only do so much. You have community support. There's no doubt about that. But I would prefer that we move forward in what I consider to be something where we have more ability to see where we're going. Maybe you do. You're very familiar with this topic. I don't have quite that background, nor do I have necessarily the foresight that you may be able to bring to this. So that's where I am. I have difficulty supporting this without getting some further information from staff.
Councillor Passera, did you want to speak to that?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I think the majority of the mayor's concerns are in the second and third that's regarding the actual design of a new facility. And that's the whole purpose behind the consultation process, is to speak to the user groups, is to look at other municipalities and to see what they have done. A lot of that information is in the facilities needs analysis as referenced in the third whereas. So we do have a lot of that information already on hand, and I know that staff could circulate that as per Councillor Lubert's suggestion. The bottom line is, if we're going to replace this facility and council is supportive of eventually replacing the facility, I don't think fiscally that we can come up with more than one-third of the cost. And all of the grants are structured now, for the most part, regarding infrastructure and recreation, is one-third provincial, one-third federal. You have to have one-third municipal ready to go. So that's the reasoning behind that. I understand the concerns about wanting to piecemeal this and drag this out, but really, if we want to replace the pool, this is the strategy to do it. And this is based on staff's recommendation from presentations past. We did have one funding strategy brought forward to us that didn't garner the support of the previous council. This is largely based on that. We have done other larger projects such as this with different methods. This is what I believe to be the best method. Staff may tell me otherwise, but the starting point is this budget year to get the dollars put aside. I don't know if Mr. Brady wants to speak as to staff's position as to why we would need some supplementary dollars to facilitate the process, but that could shed some light on the situation.
Mr. Brady?
Thank you. The type of process that you're talking about and the type of designs that you're talking about is not something that our current staff complement can do. When we did it the last time, we had a consultant who we had involved both in terms of the consultation process and in terms of the designs. So the money that I believe you are going to be seeking as a part of the 2018 budget as a supplemental would be money that would be used to hire a consultant to do that work. And if this motion passes this evening, then we would bring forth what we believe is required to do that as part of a supplementary item.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. If I could, Madam Chair, what I envision the design to be is very similar to what the current pool is as far as scope goes. That will be borne out by speaking to various user groups, users of the pool. I'm not looking at the Taj Mahal of pools. The purpose of this pool is to provide swimming lesson instruction. You don't need a Taj Mahal with six different swimming pools or, you know, slides like they have at the Americana or a Great Wolf Lodge with buckets tipping over to do that. But where I speak about in one of the whereas is about current user trends and the availability or lack thereof to provide current programming options are little things like an extended leisure pool area. Right now, the pool is 44 feet by 80 feet long. The shallow end is only about 8 feet wide. There are only so many kids between the ages of 2 and 6 you can get in that area. The deep end goes mostly unused. So design aspects like that, but it would be on a similar scope and scale, but that's what I want to start this process. As far as putting in there the actual funding, to me, being realistic, knowing the types of dollars that we have committed to other projects, knowing the financial responsibility I think we all take very seriously, I did not want to come here tonight or at some point in the future and say that we need to budget $750,000 tonight and $750,000 next year to build a new pool. It doesn't happen that way. To me, I think this is realistic. I think it's cost effective, and I think it's feasible. But this is the starting point. I differ with his worship as to how to segment it out. I prefer not to segment. If we're in agreement or the majority is in agreement as to where we need to go, I believe this is the path that will get us there.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Chair Zenko. Just a few comments on this. I'm it's an item that we need to get out in the open and discuss, and I think my comments were lost earlier. When we started this term of council, we heard about the asset management plan. We hear time and again from staff that we need to have projects that are shovel-ready, designed, if we're going to get any kind of funding from the provincial or federal government. My specific comment is, with the asset management plan and the direction the province is going, it's only a matter of time before municipal recreational facilities are added to that list. And I think it's coming sooner than later. If you told me I had 10 years to save to replace my roof or 30 years to replace my roof, I would take the 30-year option every time, because it's less of an impact overall on my entire budget. Just because nothing's in the pipeline for 10 years from now doesn't mean there isn't going to be something that comes up. I mean, we could have a tornado roll here through here, and we might need design work done on something. Why I will support this is because it at least starts the conversation. It at least starts the budget. Are we doing right by the citizens of the town by creating a reserve or fund to plan for all the future needs of our children and our children's children? So, thank you.
Are there any other comments or questions, Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just looking at the second to last that, you're asking to raise a third of the estimated cost over 5 years. You know, I mean, right there, it tells me that this is going to be an expensive project over a five-year period. To find a third of the funding means that you would have to save for 15 years in order to get all the funding, and I don't know that it takes 15 years to, even if it was $1 million, it wouldn't take 15 years, you know, for a municipality to come up with the money. So I agree with Mayor Redekop. We need more information as to what are we looking at. I mean, I understand, you know, the depth of the pool from one end to another, or whatever it is, or the size of the pool, but we need something more. If we're going to agree in principle, we need to know what we're agreeing to. Just agree in principle on a motion and some writing, I don't know that that's the proper way to approve what Councilor Becerra is asking for. We need some background information on what's been happening with the pool over the last 3 years. We need to take a look at what was brought forward the last term of council as far as the pool goes. And then we actually need something down there to give us a head start as to, well, this is what we're thinking of. And then we'll design something off of that. But we have nothing in front of us. We're asked to agree to something, and we don't even know what we're agreeing to.
Anything further from any councillors? Seeing nothing, I will call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? That carries. And I will hand the chair back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zanko. And there was still some information that you'll circulate to members of council?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that takes us then to reports. And Councillor Lubertz, you have the resolution with respect to report PDS 86.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that Council awards the contract for construction of the Niagara Boulevard Cycling Infrastructure Improvements to Rankin Construction, Inc. for an upset limit of $282,156.48, including 13% HST, and further that Council awards the contract for contract administration of the Niagara Boulevard Infrastructure Improvements to Urban and Environmental Management, Inc. for an upset limit of $21,786.40, including 13% HST.
Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just want to take a moment to recognize and thank the Niagara Parks Commission for coming out and doing their presentation tonight and including this in their works for their strategic plan. It's comforting to know that they're willing to partner with the municipality on projects like this, and I'm hoping that the next project that we can partner on will be at the foot of Jarvis's coal docks, and look to see some significant work in improving and beautification in that, and they're definitely the ones to lend that expertise. So I just wanted to take a moment to thank Janice Thompson again for the Commission's contribution to this project.
Thank you. I'm sure that's very appreciated. Any other questions or comments? Mr. Cookett, I note that, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's Mr. Walsh, but I note that this whole contract is going to be about 30% under what had originally been anticipated might, or was available, I guess, from funding. And are there any other and I guess I should have asked Chair Thompson this, are there any other trail improvements that this fund could have been available for?
To you, Your Worship. Unfortunately, no. We've got an agreement with the province, and this, it's very specific of what this money could be spent on, and so it can only be allocated to this project.
Thank you. If there are no other questions, I'll call the question. All those in favor of the recommendations? That is carried. Next report, which is minutes of the Land Committee, Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, the Council receives the November 21st, 2017 Land Committee meeting minutes attached as Appendix 1 to Administrative Report Number CAO-13/LC-15-2017.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to this report? There are none. I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. That takes us to notices of motion, or notice of motion. Councillor McDermott?
Yes, Your Worship. Do you need the full wording tonight on my motion? I'll just give you the gist
just
of it.
Just the essence.
Okay, so this will be a motion, a notice of motion regarding the Niagara Parks Commission's marina at Miller's Creek. It will basically reiterate our continuing support for the expansion and enhancement of the marina and resort development on the adjacent lands at the Miller's Creek Marina. And it will also urge the NPC to engage with Warren Dack to move forward with the marina and resort development at Miller's Creek Marina without any further delays. We're very supportive of this marina happening. We want to do everything in our power to assist the Parks Commission in finding a positive end to this situation. We know that we've been a little bit frustrated over the past number of years with the comings and goings of looking for people to do this job and some of the issues that have faced you on that. I don't fault you for that, not at all.
I just need to give notice of the motion.
Want to be supportive of this project because a lot of people are very interested in it.
And when do you anticipate that motion will be brought forward? Next regular council meeting?
Yes, it will.
Which is December the 11th. Are there any other notices of motion? There being none, that takes us to consideration of bylaws. Does anyone wish any of the bylaws removed from the package? If not, Councillor...
Thank you, Your Worship.
I have Councillor...
We're on the previous one.
Mr. Page?
We're on Resolution 13.
We're on 12, so that'd be Councillor Butler. Just hold your horses there, Councillor Nutt. We'll get to you sooner or later.
Thank you.
Councillor Butler, if I take it there are no bylaws or anyone wishes removed from the agenda, you got a reason to get home early? Councillor Butler, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Worship.
I'm coming.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that the bylaw package containing 127-2017 to adopt the preliminary capital budget for the Town of Fort Erie for the year 2018, 128-2017 to authorize applications for the cancellation, reduction, or refund of taxes levied for the years 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2017, 129-2017 to amend traffic bylaw number 2000-89, reduction of speed limits on sections of Stone Mill Road, 130-2017 to accept and declare lands as public highway south side of Erie Road, Crystal Beach Hill Cottagers Organization is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? That is carried. That bylaw package is on the floor for questions or comments. If there are none, then Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaws 127-2017, 128-2017, 129-2017, and 130-2017 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. Councillor Nutt, you have the next resolution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number 131-2017 to confirm the actions of council at its meeting held on November 27, 2017 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. Councillor Zanko, over to you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that bylaw number 131-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Does anyone have any questions or comments about that? All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Councillor Sanker, did you have a
question? Thank you, Your Worship. We have a infrastructure meeting here at the Town Hall on Wednesday, November 29th at 5 p.m. in Conference Room 2.
Any other meetings? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. The Accessibility Advisory Committee is meeting Wednesday, 4:30 here at Town Hall, and we look forward to the Mayor's attendance at our last meeting this year.
I heard there was food.
Lots of good food.
No, it's a very, very effective committee, and they do excellent work, so I'm looking very much forward to it. Any other meetings? Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Your Worship. The Ridgeway BIA is hosting its AGM at 5:15 on Wednesday, November 29th at St. Luke's Church on Prospect Road in Ridgeway. Also wanted to remind everybody that the Spirit of Christmas launches this Friday, December 1st at 5 p.m. with the lighting ceremony of the holiday tree in downtown Ridgeway. This is also an opportunity for everybody to shop locally and support the merchants in downtown Ridgeway.
Yes, and unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town, but I understand you're going to be out of town too. So somebody, I presume, is going to be there from council. We'll have Diana work on that. We were in Stevensville the other night, Councillors Nutt, Passero, and I at Stevensville, and they lit the lights there. And they do a lighting in Crystal Beach, but I understand that's on Monday night. That's right. And that's a historic ceremony. Pardon? Yeah. Perfect. Okay. If there are no other meetings scheduled, that takes us back to Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko. The Council adjourns at 8:36 p.m. to reconvene into a regular meeting of Council on December 11, 2017.
All those in favor? Again, unanimous. Thank you.